and you heard a 78 RPM in the background, it's like, who plays 78s?
I've had the same question, along with a few others, when it comes to the home of Happy Feet, a KUNM music show that started in 1973 at the University of New Mexico. I'll be discussing the show, its history, and its unique sound throughout this special hour. Who Still Plays 78s is the title of this special, and will certainly be answered throughout this hour. The aforementioned 78 RPM is a type of record we hear on the home of Happy Feet pretty much every Tuesday night. My name is Bodie Russell, and I work at KUNM as a student employee. Many of our DJs and volunteers are producing from home due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which led me to take a closer look and listen at the home of Happy Feet. You're listening to Goodbye California by Los Madrugadores, and we're going to take a trip through time so we can get to know the home of Happy Feet and its DJs, Carl Stallnacher and Harry Norton.
I'm very happy to meet both of you, and figured it was time to maybe kind of catalog just the history and, you know, what makes the home of Happy Feet so unique, considering it's been running for more than 40 years. Am I doing the math right? 50 years or so now?
A couple of years, it'll be 50.
Yeah, I think Harry hit it on the head there.
And the home of Happy Feet was created out of, what was the show that preceded the home of Happy Feet? A similar time slot with, what's his name?
Let's see. What was that name of that show?
I forget the name of the show. It was
The Sweet Zephyr Tickle.
The Sweet Zephyr Tickle. And that would have been the early 1970s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a show by Barry's ex-wife, Susan Scarberry, who is had a real good mind for music, and she kind of recruited Barry and I when she figured she was leaving town, that she thought we should fill in for her.
Was it a folk show at that time as well?
Yeah. Yeah. We had our different ideas, but it was supposedly a folk show starting out.
And so did you and Barry choose the name Home of Happy Feet? Or what was the inspiration to call it that?
Yeah. And we kind of had differing ideas about what Happy Feet it was being named after. But I think I'd heard the home of Happy Feet on an old 30s jazz record, but Barry heard it off a Dan Hicks album saying, "Hey, Mr. Bartender, I think I'm going down to the home of Happy Feet and make mine a Harvey Wallbanger."
That's right. Last train to Hicksville.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll go down to the home of Happy Feet. I'm buying this round, Bartender. Make mine a Harvey Wallbanger.
Stallnacher and Barry Lawson found themselves at the helm of the show and were later joined by Marilyn Altenbach, who sadly passed away in 2014 but left quite a legacy. They were all spinning records in the basement of the Student Union building on campus, where KUNM used to broadcast from. On some nights, the broadcast could be heard in Albuquerque's South Valley. Earlier, you heard from Harry Norton, who had joined Carl as a host after Barry's passing in 2018. I asked both Carl and Harry about their history as DJs, since they have both been at KUNM for decades.
I got started DJing back in, I think I was 6 years old, which would have been believe me, a long time ago in the 1950s. My parents would like going out on Saturday nights, and they'd bring babysitters over for me who were teenage girls who I thought that was real cool. And to entertain them, I had a little portable 45 player, and I'd play them my latest Elvis and Fats Domino records, and we'd have a little sock hop in my bedroom, and then things just spiraled from there.
I got a whole lot of love for you, true, true love for you. I got a whole lot of love for you. I got a whole lot of for you, whole lot of you. I got a whole lot of kisses for you. I got a whole lot to do, a whole lot to do, and I'm so glad to see you. I got a whole lot of kisses for you. I got a whole lot to do. I got a whole lot to do, 'cause I'm so glad to see you.
That was Whole Lot of Loving by Fats Domino. I asked Carl and Harry if they had ever dreamed about being a DJ.
Well, I always had dreams about music.
Yeah, similarly. I never dreamt about being a DJ. And I think if I'd lived in any other place than Albuquerque, I probably never would have become a DJ. I think it was a perfect storm when I discovered KUNM in the mid-70s.
And KUNM was really instrumental in this current phase of me being a DJ, because I played music, and so I wasn't necessarily thinking about you know, being a DJ on the air. But when the opportunity came up that we talked about just a few minutes ago, with the slot opening up, that it sure sounded like a great idea, because I've always listened to records my whole life up until then, and it hasn't slowed down any since then, and so it just felt really fun. And you know, it was just Barry. Barry totally loved music too, and we were very good friends, you know, just because of music. And so it started out as being a real integrated feel between the two of us, and it wasn't meant to be some career objective, but it was just a way of sharing the love with them, which felt really good.
Yeah, and as Carl said about, you know, him and Barry bonding with on music, I think it's fair to say that Carl and I have a lot of similar interests in music. And part of that has to do with the fact that I was listening to the Home of Happy Feet since 1977 or 78, for sure. And that's actually when I first met you. A mutual friend took me down to the studio when you were on air. I remember that. You probably don't, but I remember it.
I'm sorry, Harry. This is an interview. I have to tell the truth. I don't remember it, but it's when you're down doing a radio show, mm-hmm. a lot of times there's a lot of things you don't remember afterwards.
Especially when you do a show every week like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My experience of being a DJ started in about 1971, playing, but we used to, my friend and I, spin records between bands in the sub-basement of my college in London, in Kentish Town. And we'd have all these pub rock bands that would play, you know, like Chilly Willy and the Red Hot Peppers. Brinsley Schwartz and Bees Make Honey and Ducks Deluxe, and they would play in the basement, and then when they stopped playing, we would crank up music from our own collections to play in between. But it was never a lifetime goal. It was just something I enjoyed, like Carl. You know, I was listening to Buddy Holly and Elvis Presley on the radio in the 1950s. And no Little Richard, unfortunately, but.
Well.
He was too rowdy for British radio.
Well, you learned, though.
Yes.
You picked up on it.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was Fiddle Diddle by Chilly Willy and the Red Hot Peppers. I spoke with Harry over Zoom earlier this year. Here he talks more about his DJing.
You know, being a DJ is totally me, you know, and I didn't realize that until I started doing it, that my love of music could expand mm-hmm. the longer I was a DJ. And so, yeah, being involved at KUNM has just been something I could never have imagined, mm-hmm. you know. In fact, the first time I was involved at KUNM was probably about 1980. I took a class with the then volunteer coordinator, Oliver Stone, and I did some production work. You know, I produced a spot. They used to have a punk rock show called Raw Guts, and I did a production spot for that. And that was 1980. And then for a few years, I wasn't involved in KUNM. And then I decided to get back involved around about 1986. And so I went through the process of doing, training. Back then we had specific training we had to do in order to go on the air, because there was less news. It was like constant music mm-hmm. when I first started. Mm-hmm. But the Happy Feet has always been 3 hours, 3 hours of joy.
Yeah.
3 hours of bliss as a listener and as a DJ.
The Home of Happy Feet has always put a spotlight on local New Mexican musicians and international musicians. I wanted to know more about how that works, how live musical guests get featured, and what kinds of musical performances have stuck out over the years.
And that's actually been Carl's duty, because I was reading Barry's obituary, which is in the K, if you go to the KUNM page, you can find Barry's obituary. It actually specifically says there that Carl is mostly responsible for doing that, and okay. mostly responsible for interviewing live musicians when they come down to the station. And that continued even, since Barry passed away. We've had a few guests, not that many, but Carl, it's usually somebody that Carl knows. And another thing that I'd point out about the Happy Feet is that it has a strong New Mexico flavor almost every week in some form or another. And at least Carl especially tries to find, something that'll appeal to New Mexicans.
KUNM's music director, Matthew Finch, had interviewed local band A Hawk and a Hacksaw a while back. The duo, Jeremy Barnes and Heather Trost, had this to say about the Home of Happy Feet.
Well, the Home of the Happy Feet, I have to say, having listened to a lot of radio stations, a lot of programs all over the place, they're, to me, in my mind, they're one of the best radio programs in the last 40 years mm-hmm. in North America. They are so, every week when we turn them on, we're blown away by what they're playing. They're so inspiring, and they're playing music from all over the world, from all eras. So that alone they give us enough material,
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah.
I always go and look up what they played because I don't know most of what they play. I'm like, oh, that sounds Bulgarian.
Yeah.
That sounds Macedonian. Yeah. What is it? And I'm always learning from them.
Yeah, we're huge fans of them.
Yes.
Anne Carlstrom of Albuquerque says, I've been listening to the Home of Happy Feet since I moved here 30 years ago. Couldn't figure it out at first, and I wasn't sure about those hosts. But over time, I have become a total fan, and now rank it as my favorite KUNM music show, with the Blues Show and Performance Today following right behind. The mixture of musical styles and eras on Home of Happy Feet always grabs my attention, and I am in awe of the hosts' encyclopedic knowledge of music and of their personal music libraries. I have missed the live Happy Feet shows during the pandemic, but I still listen regularly to the archive versions. There's so much variety. It's still new and captivating every week.
Thank you, Anne, for submitting that comment and for sharing the love. Before that, you heard an instrumental piece by A Hawk and a Hacksaw called Hummingbirds. We'll keep going with the discussion on live performances. Carl shared some memories of outstanding live performances and claims that he saw one guest musician levitating off the ground.
Well, there's been some great experiences with local musicians and international musicians, and there's all too many at this point performances that it'd be very hard just to say these were my absolute favorites, because just locally the first live music I think we had was Bonnie Bloom and her brother Terry Bloom, and those were some wonderful shows. And we had a teenage bluegrass band called the Clear Ditch Ramblers, and by this point I think a lot of them are probably retired or thinking about retirement, because of their age. But those were some great times, and we've always been real well supported by local artists. But there'd be touring artists that would come by, certain things just really stand out. That there was Ivo Papasoff, who's a major Bulgarian musician, gypsy musician, and he brought his wedding band in to do a show at the Chemo Theater, which Tom Guralnick was promoting. And it was just amazing. He had his didn't have his full band there, but they'd been traveling like for hours and hours over in planes, airports, and they just got in and didn't have time to eat dinner and just came down to the show, and they were looking really haggard. But he took out his clarinet, and the accordion player took out his accordion, and all of a sudden, the two of them were like levitating about a foot off the control room floor. And just incredible energy, just intense. Talk about music being a life force. I mean, it was all there, and it was the same way with a Zimbabwe group that showed up one night that played imbiras and sang. And they were so. I mean, just what transported me into a whole another universe. And the music is very old and ancient, but just totally means as much today as it did centuries ago. And there was a traveling Irish band that we set up in the just the room adjacent to the control room, and they all sat down in a circle, and I sat down in the circle, and they played so beautifully, and I mean, just to you know, be right next to the music while it was happening and feel it vibrate your body. And that was, their name was Data. And they were young and a young band and very, very intense.
During that clip, you heard Ivo Papazov and his orchestra with the song Ivo's Ruchenitsa. Another live performance Carl fondly remembers is that of Frank Mikulik, a local New Mexican musician and artist. Here, Carl, Harry, and Frank discuss a Leonard Cohen song during a studio performance that took place in 2019.
Last week, we were, Harry and I were down here, you know, just like a usual Tuesday night, and we got out Ballad of the Absent Mare. and I thought, Leonard Cohen and Frank, this has got to be the worst checking out. And if it wasn't the best cover of a Leonard Cohen song I've ever heard. What do you think, Gary?
Well, you were telling me you thought it was better than the original.
Yeah.
I think I've something here. I better get some lyrics out for that one. You ready for a long one?
Sure.
A radio star or a rodeo star gave Leonard Cohen a horse in the early days, and the horse was lame and it ran away from him and so forth. He never catch it, and I think that inspired his Ballad of the Absent Mare. And then, of course, knowing Leonard Cohen, then he added Zen Buddhist or kind of a description of the search for the perfect wisdom, and the search for the 10 elephants. And then I've added in, among other people, some Spanish in it too. So we kind of got a bilingual Zen Buddhist cowboy song.
Well, yeah, it hits on all cylinders. That's all I can say.
So, here we go. Say a prayer for the cowboy, his mare's run away. Reza por vaquero, su yegua se fue. Y anda a buscarla, su querida, su amor. Pero se inunda el río y las calles también. Se rompen los puentes, todo se murió. And there's nothing to follow, there's nowhere to go. She's gone like the summer, she's gone like the snow. And the crickets are breaking his heart with the song. And the day caves in, and the night's all wrong.
Mikulik's son was in a band with Carl, and that band is one that Harry remembers.
The Wingnuts.
Yeah, that one. that was a fun time. And
I saw you in that bar across from UNM.
Oh yeah,
coming there. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, what was the hottest place in town to perform or to hang out to listen to some great music? You know, either in the 80s or the 70s or.
Well, I mean that's depends on what you mean by hot. If you want a authentic, I mean, there were authentic bars, and all those are no longer, you know, around. They're all changed. There were places that Bob Wills and Buddy Holly played, and places like the Hitching Post, which was up on West Central, and there were a number of great Spanish clubs. One just, you know, a couple of miles from here, that it was out on Old Coors Road, and you know, they get all these great Norteño bands.
Just heard El Guapo, Los Norteños de Chihuahua by Exitos Norteños. My name is Bodie Russell, and I'm your host for this Home of Happy Feet special, Who Still Plays 78s? As you listen to Carl and his stories, you start to hear the knowledge he has for musical recordings. Looking around his home studio in the South Valley, you see piles of records and CDs, which made me curious about this undertaking of collecting physical media.
His collection of old music is to die for, to really old music.
Do you ever come over and steal a couple of records to listen to? Or do you have Carl bring them down to the studio if you want to say, oh, I want to play that one. Do you have that one?
No. Sometimes he gives me records.
Yeah, and sometimes Sari gives me stuff too. Did this happen even before we teamed up for Happy Feet? We were huge fans of his Freeform show, and I'd hear something he played, and just, you know, be really covetous of it and wanting it. So I could. Boy, that song would make a great segue with this song and
yes.
That I got. And so there was always that close friendship there between the two of us. And so now I just got to say that Harry has an incredible record collection, and we hear about it from our wives.
That's right.
Who, you know, get suspicious every time they see us come in the house with, you know, records under our arms. And, you know, it's like, but, you know, both of them have been incredibly supportive through the years. And you know, it just got to a point where once I finished building my studio here, that it was, my wife said it was time that I get things moved out of the house and the casita. And so I'll be digging out of the mess probably for the rest of my life, but hopefully it'll be organized one of these days.
Stallnacher's studio is located behind his house. You walk from his front yard through a gate into the backyard with two chickens and a rooster strutting about. There are lots of different things on the property, like cars, outdoor furniture, and some planter beds with blooming flowers. You can tell that the Stallnachers have been here for quite a long time. The first thing you might spot above the studio's bright turquoise French doors is a homey touch, a wooden plaque with the Stallnachers carved into it. You go inside and look up at the spacious ceiling, supported with wooden spiral beams, which allow for sounds of records to fill up the space. You'll see the floor is strewn with boxes of records, pictures, and some tools. The space is a work in progress. There are shelves of records and CDs, and a little bed for any afternoon naps you might want to take. A desk with Carl's record players is on the back wall, set up between two large subwoofers. After spending 5 or so minutes in the studio, you can't help but to let your eyes wander to all the knickknacks that Carl has collected. Here, he talks more about his home and the studio.
The casita was built in 1932, But I built a studio with help of some friends along the way, and some big help from a few really close friends, that that it was a 10-year project that still isn't done. I still have to build the Port Hall, and then I'll rest a little easier. But I did mainly with salvaged parts, and I'd go, not unlike my music, you know, I'd spend a lot of time digging through dumpsters and going to secondhand places, and so it took me a while.
Having a historic nature, the Home of Happy Feet and its DJs bring historic music to the listeners. The scratchy pops from 78, 45, and 33 and a third records are what define the Home of Happy Feet's unique sound. Tim Forrest, a former KUNM producer and host, talks about this.
Upon first arriving in Albuquerque, I'd heard of this storied program and, of course, listened to it. I was one of those people that had KUNM on 24/7 in my home. And it was just, you know, it only took a couple listens to realize, you know, how potent this program was. I mean, when you heard a 78 RPM in the background, it's like, who plays 78s? And the Home of Happy Feet fellas and Marilyn, of course, at the time, were the Home of Happy Feet folks, you know, would bring their own 78 RPM styluses that they would have to put onto the turntables in order to play, you know, their stacks of these ancient, delicate 78 RPM records that they had collected over, at that point, I guess it would have been about 30 years of doing the show, and now it's been over 45 years that they've done the show. But it's amazing how sonically pure those recordings are. Of course, you have to listen past the scratching and the grinding and the wah-wahing of the vinyl on the turntable, but you know, all the information is there, and some of those old recordings from the 20s are just pristine. I mean, it's really amazing, and I don't know of any other show that plays 78 RPMs, but it's a treasure trove for sure.
Being able to play these older records is something that both Harry and Carl appreciate.
Richard Town, the manager, Richard Town, you know, he went out of his way to get a special 78 turntable because, you know, when KUNM was moving away from turntables, it was important to keep them for specifically shows like the Home of Happy Feet. Mm-hmm. Other folks use turntables because some music is still only available on vinyl, mm-hmm. you know, and not just the new music, although more and more new music now is available on vinyl. Mm-hmm. But the 78, he had to get the 78 cartridge, mm. which is very specific. Mm-hmm. And you can't play 33 and a thirds on a 78 stylus. Mm-hmm. It just, you can't. So it was very important to have that.
You know, I'd have to bring in my own cartridges from home and you know, change up the turntable in a, you know, like 10 seconds time, have to switch out the cartridges and get ready for a next cut. But what was good about it is I could actual segue 78s, which is something that wasn't really done too much anymore in the over the country. I mean, there's not too many places where that's probably happening, and that's just one of the reasons we love KUNM.
Keith Stickford of La Jara, New Mexico says, "The home of Happy Feet has an important place in my life and the life of my family. I and my children have enjoyed the variety and quality of the music that is brought to us by those whose knowledge of both American music, but also the international music, is expansive. There is really no other venue that I have found that has the depth and diversity that the home of Happy Feet has shown during all these years. I have been a dedicated listener since the late 1970s and hope that there are those who can continue the legacy of Carl Stalnaker and the late Barry Lawson and Marilyn and others. These dear people have become personal friends of mine, and their love of music of different genre matches my own interests and many others. There is no radio program like it."
That was another listener comment from Keith. My name is Bodie Russell, and I'm your host for this hour-long special, Who Still Plays 78s? I would like to thank listeners who submitted comments and who shared their love and appreciation for the Home of Happy Feet. So we've talked about records, but I wanted to know why Harry and Carl like that medium and how these old records are preserved.
I really enjoy the vinyl. It's got something about it that's, I don't know how to quite to describe it, except to say that it's kind of meaty. There's a, for instance, you can listen to something like, Elvis Presley's first album, The Sun Sessions. If you listen to that on vinyl, it sounds so much better than the CD, in my opinion, you know, from 1954. But that's not that's just one example. But certainly the crackle of the 78, there's nothing like it. Carl even brought, one day he brought down a 78 that went from the middle to the edge.
Oh, interesting.
From the middle of the yeah. He said, "Check this out." And so he brought this vinyl, the 78 down, and it started in the middle and went to the edge.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Did this real, real hip record guy from Portland, who has Mississippi Records, which is a label that is just really esoteric, but it totally latches on to roots music, like old jazz, blues, and old country music,
and international music too. A lot of old international
music. 78s.
Carl was responsible for getting me interested in Mississippi Records. There, it's hard to buy Mississippi Records the normal way. You have to go through their store, I think, to actually
or
get
online
them, or online. Yeah,
but he came in and to KUNM because Cat Catterwall brought him into town to
Derek
to do a lecture, and he went into KUNM for a interview on 3Form to promote the lecture, and he saw that there was a 78 turntable, and he just got all excited and bumped up, and he said, you know, and that really gave us credibility and out there in the world that know that was going on.
Yeah, I went to the website, Mississippi Records website. They've got so much music there that I haven't, you know, that I would really like to get into, and maybe still will. I started to build a collection of their vinyl. Abner J.
Yeah.
We had nothing but grasshoppers. Looking back over somebody, I need some rest. Oh Lord, I'm so depressed.
That was "I'm So Depressed" by the aforementioned Abner J. I spoke with Carl on the phone back in December of 2020, and I asked him what this method of preservation does for the history of music.
The historic nature of things in music to me is a lot of times things sound better when they're played on the media where they came out on, you know, on the technology.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an old record, I mean, it doesn't necessarily sound the same if it's you know, been remixed digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, there's just so, playing the original, every record tells the story of, you know, all the different people that have listened to it or owned it. And some of these old scratches you hear,
mm-hmm,
are from somebody maybe hitting an old wound up Victrola, and you hear all the humanity that from people and listening to it and enjoying it before you hear it. And some of these, I mean, there might not be too many copies of them left in the world. And they might not even, you know, be on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really good thing to give music sometimes a second chance to you know, be played again. And you know, it's like when you have a soul record from the 60s. I mean, sometimes you know, they sound best you know, played on a 33 or 45.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they might sound the best yet would be from a Wurlitzer jukebox, but there's a certain sound and excitement that comes through the original grooves. And to me, that's something I value.
Don't you know you gotta tell the truth, yeah? Baby, why don't you tell me the truth now? You know you got me doing everything crazy that you want me to do. Get your hell, yeah, watch it.
There's so much music that really needs preserving, and it's just, I mean, it's fragile. I mean, things evolve, but and end up in a new place, but it's just, you can understand so much more about you know, figuring out how the world got to where it's is right now by just a little listening to music and following trends through the ages, and because it's always been a very, very important part of people's soul.
During that clip, you heard from a soul musician, Otis Redding, with his song, Tell the Truth. This is Tim Forrest speaking again about what the Home of Happy Feet means to him.
I mean, it's incredible. When someone's been doing a program for 45 years, I mean, they've just developed this breadth and width of knowledge and you know, just this repertoire, you know, and just to imagine that these guys have to take, you know, these albums, pull them up to KUNM. So it becomes a physical as well as a spiritual journey for them. And it pays off because all of that comes across on the airwaves. When I moved back to Albuquerque about 6 years ago, I was in Moriarty and I was in a pawn shop and I saw this Conjunto accordion on the wall and it just started talking to me, you know, the basic, buy me. Take me home. And so I bought it, and I would teach myself how to play by listening to the Home of Happy Feet and playing along with the program, because no other program has that type of, that much accordion music. And, you know, from just all hugely different, you know, styles and nationalities, and, you know, I just never heard that much accordion music before. And so it was... it was motivating to play along with the program, and I continue to do it to this day. So it's a ritual.
Carl and Harry want to get back into the studio. They're craving some kind of normalcy, which a lot of us might be craving since people are getting vaccinated and the pandemic is slowing, at least here in New Mexico. The DJs say that they're thinking about their first sets and segues.
I just have the first song picked out. I figure we'll go from there.
Well, I've been pulling stuff from the walls of my music room, and they're beginning to stack into piles of music that I imagine I'm going to play fairly soon, with luck. And I've actually ordered some new music online during the pandemic. And so I've been listening to whole albums, which is not common for me because I, you know, doing radio at KUNM, I was always preparing for a show and I didn't have time to listen to whole albums. But for the recent past, I've been enjoying whole albums.
Yeah, now there's plenty of time to do that.
That's right.
No better time than now.
But I have also been thinking about segues as I go along.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing with me, Harry. I just enjoyed this time we've had to take off because of, you know, getting to listen to music in its entirety and play things I wouldn't be playing. But also, there's just so much I got out of just sitting down with my wife and on the couch and listening to the show, that because when it's happening in the control room, you really don't get a chance to enjoy it like you can just sitting in and digesting your dinner and you know, talking over the events of the day, and it just it gave me a whole new appreciation there.
Yeah, just hearing the playbacks, it never gets old, you know, and there's still stuff that's really surprising. I didn't realize I did that, you know. So yeah, it's very gratifying. But now we're running out of shows.
So I guess it's time for the pandemic to chill out.
Chill out.
But hopefully they'll be be plenty of segues left in the tank.
Yep. There's always segues.
If Home of Happy Feet had a catchphrase, would that be it, you think? There's always segues?
To be had.
Right now, you're listening to Joanne Waltz by Frankie Yankovic. Many people made this special hour possible. I'd like to thank everyone at KUNM who helped me along the way. I'd also like to thank Tim Forrest, Jalila Arthur Brewer, and David the Iceman Peitsiamo for their contributions. The live interview clips featured in this special were of A Hawk and a Hacksaw and Frank McCulloch. I'd like to thank you all, the listeners, for your support of the show and of KUNM, and to Carl Stolnacher and Harry Norton. Thank you both for your support and your trust in me with the Encore shows. If you have any feedback or comments for this special, please email happyfeet@kunm.org. If you would like to listen to this special again, visit kunm.org and search for Home of Happy Feet. You've been listening to Who Still Plays 78s, a Home of Happy Feet special. I'm Bodie Russell, and this is KUNM.